Hey guys, it's me, Sai. A couple of tour dates. North Carolina. I'm going to be in Asheville on April 12th. That's a Friday. You can get tickets at Eventbrite. Denver, the Denver area, Fort Collins, the larger Colorado region. I'm going to be at the Comedy Fort in Fort Collins on Friday, May 10th and Saturday, May 11th, two shows each night. You can get those tickets at comedyfortcollins.com, or you can look in the description of this episode, or you can go to my Instagram, which is just my name, and click on the link in the bio. Any of those places, come see my new hour that I am trying, let's say, to do. I'm trying to do it. See you guys there. Bye. Today's episode is brought to you by and sponsored by BetterHelp. You know how Chad and I feel about therapy? We talk about it often. We talk about the way it's changed us as human beings. We think it's incredibly important. You can visit BetterHelp, HELP.com/somewhere. Today you can get 10% off. Check out the people at BetterHelp.
Hey everybody, this is Chad Daniels, and you have landed in the middle of somewhere. Hello, how are you? Thank you for coming back. I hope you're having a fantastic day. While you're listening to this, I'm in Mexico about to watch my son get married. I'm old. Across from me, as always, is Cyrus Amundsen.
Hi, Chad. Good morning. Good afternoon. It's nice to see you. I know.
Nice to see you too.
The listeners are on pins and needles asking themselves, Cy, how is your conquering of your social media habits coming? You told us you were gonna conquer. You're no longer going on the Discover page on Instagram. And Chad, I have failed. I am addicted. It has been so hard. I'm not doing great on it so far.
Okay,
I just want to
so
be transparent with
listeners.
You.
Mm-hmm. Take the food out of your mouth. Take the breakfast out of your mouth. Don't drink any coffee for a second, and let's all say it together. We knew you weren't going to do it, dipshit.
No, I think I still am. I look at
No.
this more. This is more like the Vietnam War. But if we'd have won, that's not, that's probably, I don't want to use the Vietnam War. That's a very, that's not a great
please
example.
Please don't be one of these people that continues to go, you know what? I got knocked down, but I'm getting up and I'm going to dust myself off. And then you do that just until you're 90 years old and die.
Can
That's
I tell
the
you something?
Craziest shit.
Can I tell you something? I
What?
Get knocked down, but I get up again. Chumbawamba, Tub Thumper. The point that I am trying to make
I
to
recognize
you is
it.
I don't think you conquer something like this on the first try or the second try
Sure.
or the 48th
Let me tell you something else
49th.
Before you even talk about these tries. I'll drink your vodka drink. I'll drink your lager drink. I'll drink your whiskey drink.
I thought
because I
this
know
was
you
about
won't
to
do
be
it.
A pitch for Bert and Tom's vodka, and I was about to say, not on my show. Not on my watch. Not until we you know, I know I don't drink, but I know I'm always running scams and schemes and pitching, but if their
True.
Vodka is successful, because I would assume, so what's it called? Something to Spanish?
You're not going to like this. I don't know what you're talking about right now. But, and that's not because I don't like those two. I just don't know. Because
you're
I
not on the fucking Discover
you made a
page
promise.
On Instagram?
You made a promise to stay off of Instagram, and I'm doing it in your stead. Maybe we could make. I'm assuming they have a vodka. That's what you're saying. Are you thinking of Mark and
No. So this is, but that's a great point. So Mark and Sam have Bodega Cat.
I know that they have
Bodega
Bodega
Cat
Cat
whiskey.
Whiskey.
So at the Super Bowl, Tom and Bert unveiled. I think it's called, and I am not a speaker of the Spanish, but I think it's called Por Osos. Dos Osos
is it Dos
or Por
Osos?
Osos? It's one of those two.
Well, dose makes
yeah,
sense.
But
that's
I remember
too big.
Looking it up, and it doesn't actually mean two bears. It means something different.
Because Poroso says four.
That's what
bears.
It is. It does mean four bears. It's four bears. I think.
Okay, but not the number four, as in like this is four
hey,
bears.
Hey, are you a bear?
This is to be drank.
Are you
by
a bear?
Bears,
I forgot that you were such a well-rounded speaker of Espanol. So.
Oh, I'm not. I know two words, and we nailed both of them, baby.
So
let's
go. I think we both agree, Tom Burt, at the top of our industry. A very bright idea to put a vodka out into the universe. Probably, I mean, the potential there, enormous. Mark and Sam, and I don't think, I'm not trying to put comedians into tiers the way like a guy on ESPN does quarterbacks, but let's do that. They're having a lot of success, but they're not doing arenas.
They're huge.
They're not Tom and Bert, but they're huge.
Right.
So they also have a successful whiskey.
Yeah.
So I think you and I should put one out and just experiment if the lowest end of comedians that people have heard of, like just in the way that like, oh, what'd you say his name was? Sky Amundsen? Yeah. Didn't he open for the one? Like, that's what I've got going on over here. Can we put a booze out into the universe?
Sure.
And who knows? Maybe it catches and we make a good $2,000-$3,000 a year off it. Or surpass our podcast,
you know what I'd like
by
to do?
$2,000-$3,000.
Since you don't drink, it doesn't make any sense because we won't be able to do shots or anything. So why don't we put out like a tart cherry juice that you can mix with the vodka and the whiskey?
How about you?
We'll put out mixers.
Oh, Daddy. I love that. And we call them Daddy's Mixers. I think
middle of somewhere tonic.
I think that is a fantastic idea. Here's the problem with the Discover page on Instagram. When you've been going to it 1,000 times a day for 5 years in a row, it's pretty ingrained in your brain. So
ingrained in your brain. Ingrained. Got no brain.
So I should just quit social. I think the only way to do it is to quit Instagram, but I'm stubbornly. I still want to see stuff on there, like a picture of the Michelin man in like a tank top and send it to you. Like, is this what you see when you look, you know, I still need to.
Always fun. Always a day brightener.
I need to, they call it, when I was at ESPN, they called it a second screen. Where, what are you watching on the TV, and then what are you watching on your second screen? And I think in that same way, I need multiple modes of channels of communication to you. I need to be able to get to you on cell, on Instagram, and on email. So I need a tri channel. So I can't just give up Instagram. But
I agree because if you gave up, I wouldn't be able to not open messages on three different platforms. And that's not fun. I don't want to sit here and be one of these guys that just doesn't open messages on two platforms like a puss.
I will tell you, if it was any other vice, you know, like drinking or, you know, drugs or cheating or any of those things, I don't think anyone would believe me if I was like, I think that's the last one. I think I'm going to, that's how far into it I am, but I am determined. So we'll check back on and back. Who is this guy? How have I fallen apart?
You sound like a Star Wars character that is in a lot of makeup. Yeah. Big ball.
Big ball.
Hey, I saw something on Instagram. Now, I don't ever go on the Discover page unless I'm trying to figure out my golf swing, but.
Yeah, that's what what I'm there for, too.
Yeah, I'm sure you are. Hey, these naked tits aren't going to help me with my golf swing.
You can't be naked on Instagram, Chad. Don't
turn
me into a perv. No. You get mostly naked on Instagram, and then you put a link in
Twitter.
Your bio. Oh, it's
Twitter. You can get full naked? Because one time...
Yes, you can.
I clicked on something, and it was insertion, is what I clicked on.
Yes.
It basically became a video of a weenie going into a sheath.
Yeah.
A weenie sheath.
Twitter is... On Instagram, they're like, hey, you do need to have clothes on. And Twitter, they're like, get closer to that labia for this thing that somebody's about to click on.
Yeah, if somebody's going to have to listen to this many political opinions, then they get to see a puss.
They're
going to
get some labia, that's for sure.
Okay, so I saw something on Instagram, and it said, would you be willing to do this? You are given $50,000 if the person you hate most on planet Earth gets $100,000. And then someone responded, of course, why wouldn't I want $150,000? which I thought was such a funny response to this thing. But the reason I bring it up is to not steal that unidentified person's joke. I'm asking you, would you do it?
I have to tell you, and you're going to hate this.
But you don't hate anybody.
I don't. You know the one guy. You know the one guy that, like, I think if I can change the wording and go, but the one person you don't want to have money and success, right. Hate's a hard word for me. You know who it is. I'm not letting that guy. I'd rather fucking eat beans off the street than let that guy have a $10 bill. I would rather.
Well, listen, I'd rather dip hot dogs in guacamole, quite honestly. But, you know, so would you, but would you take the 50 grand if that person got 100 grand?
No, absolutely not. Here's the thing. I think the question changes. 50 grand, I'm not a rich guy by any stretch of the imagination. I am not even like, all right, yeah, like 50 grand is an exceptional amount of money to me, but it doesn't ding my,
right.
If you go,
you bought a house on a fake lake. Like that's the kind of money you're dealing with.
If you, what?
Hold on. If the people could have seen your face, there was just a split second of pure murderous rage. And then you went right back into your thing. Oh, fuck. That's so funny.
I think it gets interesting at about 500 grand. Like if we're
they get a million.
I know. I'm saying like, I think you go, if you start handing me, I don't have to pay taxes. I think the bigger question is for me, because, well, let me ask you, do you give someone 100 so you can get 50? The person that you dislike.
Let me tell you this. First of all, if this offer goes out universally, I'm going to check my bank account and there are going to be several deposits of $100,000.
Yeah, I don't have to worry about my 50 because I'm about a billionaire.
Yeah, I can tell you that I have a list of people that will be sending me $100,000. But I don't know, because anybody that I dislike that much, I think it becomes a question of forgiveness, right? Like, are you willing to?
No. I mean, that's definitely,
right. And that's a sign of forgiveness, right? If you say, I'm going to give this person 100 grand, obviously, you hope they forget to pay taxes. You hope the government comes in and leans on their house. Now
here's what I would say, where it becomes not a question of forgiveness is, so the second level, the more interesting question is, if you say no to that first one, like I said, no, I'm not taking 50 so he can get 100. I don't feel, right. I'm not interested in that. What is my number? Where can you buy me off? Is it 100 so he gets 200? What amount of money do I receive that I no longer, that I'm able to let go of my grudge? Because we're talking, if you're listening at home, we are talking the one person on earth that you have to honestly identify. Like, I don't want them to have stuff.
Of course.
So
it's a hard question, because now I think about someone that I would maybe have to give $100,000 to, and I wonder, would that person spend all $100,000 reminding me why I don't like them in the first place? Maybe. Would they make it their life's mission to constantly remind me with ads on the Super Bowl and shit? So I don't know.
Well, it's not enough money to do that. But what I will say is, you have opened a door to a game that you know that I love, which is Would You Rather, which has been one of the tenets of this show, is not allowing me to enter that universe. But the door is currently ajar. So let me throw one or two at you, and then we can get on with whatever bullshit. Oh, how was Chad special? We'll get to all of that.
Wow. You wouldn't have to ask if you didn't have your big fucking weekend and go bananas.
Don't do that to me.
Nice if one person I loved would have showed up.
Would you rather always be sticky or slippery forever from now on?
Slippery.
Okay, and why?
Because I fucking hate being sticky. There are two things I hate more than anything on planet Earth, and I'm going to tell you what they are. Being sticky.
Okay.
And listening to someone chew. I don't know what it is. Here's honestly, I talked, so my sister hates it too. Yeah. And I think it's because my sister and I spent so much time at an uncomfortably quiet dinner table.
Oh,
because there
sure.
was so much tension between our parents that we could hear everyone chewing. And it just sends me back to this time where I fucking hate it. When people chew around me, I just can't.
So this is important. Even with mouth closed.
Even with mouth closed.
I have it too. I don't know.
It's, yeah.
Jenna
it's
went like, to what, the university of noises from your nose. Like, that's the one for me. Like, how are you? Why do you need more air now than you do the rest of the day? Just because there's food in the other part where air goes.
Maybe. Dude, that is so specific. That is a hatred. You know what would be interesting? If you got $50,000, sounds like your wife would get $100,000. That's a pretty good deal for the baby.
Would you rather eat, this is the last one, would you rather eat a raw egg, shell and everything, or a handful of worms?
Raw egg.
Okay, how was your special? Tell me about it.
Shell and everything.
No, let me say my thing about your special so we don't have to go into the thank you, but I don't know, and all, like, I want to gas you up. Can I gas you up? Okay. And you're going to hate it, but it's going to force this conversation the direction it needs to go.
And also, I do want to start by saying this. I said, oh, it'd be nice if one person that loved me would show. There are so many people who were at this thing. I was
yeah,
just being a
Karen bit. Listens, and she's not going to fucking love that comment. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Hey, guys. Relationships are hard, whether it is your significant other, your partner relationship, maybe it's your friendship relationships, maybe it's your family relationships. They take a lot of effort and they take a lot of navigating, and sometimes they can take a lot of help. And the people at BetterHelp can help you talk you through your relationship situations and all the situations in your life. Chad and I have talked about therapy constantly on this show, and both of us have greatly benefited from the way we interact with others in the world and how we deal with how others interact with us through therapy. And so we can't say enough about therapy and the things that it can do for you in the way that you handle everything around you. So if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. You just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. So do it. Get out there. Stop wallowing in your relationships that aren't working and start taking an active role in them or any other problem in your life. Wallowing is not a very kind word, but you know what I'm saying. I think there's a lot of power in taking an active role in the things that are difficult, and a professional can help with that. Visit betterhelp.com/somewhere today to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp, HELP.com/somewhere. So,
Okay. I'm ready.
A lot of people who loved you were there. And a lot of people who love your comedy. Two shows, over 800 people. You sold. I'm going to say the thing that I said to you on the telephone. I'm going to do it okay. out loud. This is a celebration moment. You started comedy by doing shit jobs, fucking traveling up to Fargo, North Dakota. Grand Forks. Even worse.
That's not worse. It's just further.
It depends what you think is good and bad, but
okay.
We all have done the different variations of rooms up there. I think you can still smoke indoors at the club that they have up there now, the one night room.
Well, you have to, because otherwise you choke on the French fry smell of Simplot. They make French fries up there. There's a French fry plant. And I'll tell you what, it's how I lost weight when I left. I couldn't eat French fries. That's truly how I lost weight.
You were essentially living in and around your car while also bartending, while also doing stand-up, and then having kids, you know, without a plan. I had no offense, but, it, you know, the way you've described it, it didn't seem like you had an awesome plan. And
well, we didn't. Yeah, it was accidental pregnancy first time.
And so, but that guy got in at Acme, built this career, built all these hours, and you just recorded your 10th fucking hour in front of 1,600 people. 1,600 fucking people. That's, it's 1,600. It's so many. It's 1,600 people, and you did it for the biggest platform on the universe, Netflix, the biggest, the most important, the one where stuff happens if it's going to happen. I just think it's so fucking great. I think it's so wonderful. And I had people all night messaging me, telling me how the sets were going. And I know when you do something like that, you have to feel a certain way about it, because I was talking to somebody and I was saying, it's got to be weird to do a special like that of that importance, because when you walk up on stage, I would assume somewhere in your memory bank is the exact level of good that every joke in that hour is capable of being.
Yeah, that's where it gets a little tricky.
Yeah.
Because you do the first show, you know, people got there at 5 o'clock. That's when the doors open. Show started at 6. Nate Abshire, friend of the show, just murdered up top. Mm-hmm. And then you get out there and things are going well, but you can see the crowd and some people are, I don't know if they're drunk already or it's just it's a kind of a weird response that you're not used to. Where it's like laughing and then maybe the idea that there were cameras there made people nervous. But I got off stage after the first show and I thought, these jokes have gotten better responses, right? But then I got so many messages from people that were there that were like, you know, we were at the first show. This is our favorite hour you've ever done. Like that kind of shit. And I'm just like, okay, well, I guess then I don't know. But the late show was, I think people were just a little looser. The sun had gone down, right? It felt more like a comedy show, a time for comedy show. And I think that it was just real fun. And I want to point out that I told Lewis Lee from Acme, the owner of Acme Comedy Company, where you and I started, that I didn't want to do anything without his name on it. So he promoted it. Mm-hmm. And it was in conjunction or brought to you by Acme or however the wording was. And it was just a real cool deal, man. I mean, no one had shot a special at this place, the Fitzgerald. They had done the Prairie Home Companion movie. They had shot that there, but no one had shot a comedy special. And so first one, and I got to sign the wall with all the bricks that have these names that I recognize and like all this shit. It was just a real cool deal. I had an agent come through, my manager and my like management team came through, and everybody was just real supportive and it was real great. And I'm sure I'm forgetting a bunch of things, but it was fantastic.
When a weekend's that big, it's impossible to remember every single thing.
Yeah. And what's weird is there were people at this show that started going and seeing me at Acme when I was only allowed to headline the Tuesday of the week.
That's
right.
Yeah.
And there were people there at the show. And, you know, my friend Regan and his wife, Chris, came, and I know there were a ton of people, you know, John and Nicole came, Dan came, just absolutely incredible. So many more people that I'm just forgetting, but, kind of a neat deal. And then the crowd saying both shows, without anyone asking, someone yelled happy birthday, and then they just broke into 850 people each show singing happy birthday, which was incredible.
You know, I think you said that thing about how the jokes, like what they're capable of. Do you think it's a different, not to be too comedy in the woods of comedy, but we don't get to do that very often on here. Do you think... Because what I told you, I had somebody whose opinion I trust pretty highly in terms of like analyzing comedy, say something really, really nice about your late show to me. But do you think when you are filming a special, as much as you want to kill in the room and have the response that it exactly deserves, I would assume it's equally as important to deliver it the way you want to deliver it, right? Land the lines, because it's going to be for the people at home, and the laughter will be there. I mean, it's impossible to hear all that laughter, 800 people in a double deck theater, you know. Do you feel like you landed all the lines the way you like to land them?
Yeah, you know, you can't go as fast as you can in a club because you have to kind of wait for people to stop laughing. Because what happens is when you have 850 people in there is if you start the next line while people are laughing, people will stop laughing immediately to hear what you're saying. And then that becomes a habit for them. You're basically forcing them to adopt the habit of laughing and then shutting up immediately. So you don't get that rolling laughter. So the second show, I really let that laughter come in.
Oh, nice.
And do it. So I think it probably went a little long second show. But yeah, you know, it's I think I landed everything I wanted to land. And there were people so drunk at the second show, they were vomiting.
Oh, and fuck's sake.
But here's the thing. When there's that many people in there, a couple people can vomit and you don't even hear about it till after the show.
Sure.
Like people giving you reports. So it was such a cool deal. And I am excited that it's done. I get to not think about comedy for 2.5 weeks and I get to go to a wedding in Mexico and hopefully some people do some embarrassing shit there so I can start writing my next hour.
I felt like an FBI agent who had a bunch of, what are they called? You know, you're in the mafia, spies. But you work for me. What's that word? How dumb am I? What's it called? Informants. I felt like I had a bunch of informants because I had people, I had it fucking littered throughout all the shows and everything. I wanted to make sure I was getting the, like a dad. I was like a dad who's been banned from coming to the softball tournaments, just texting the other dads. Did he swing? Did he swing down? Did he hold his elbow up and then swing down and through like he's supposed to? Answer me, Jeff.
And Jeff, why are our sons playing softball? It's goddamn baseball league right next door. I had some informants because, you know, thank you for shining a light on my weekend, but allow me to do the same. This is the first weekend that you've been able to do I'll fucking jerk. Let's 69 each other.
Let's suck each other's dicks right on this show. That's how we 69 each other.
But you got to do so. I mean, this is, listen, we talk about a lot of stuff and how come we can't fluff our nuts a little bit? You did some six programs at Go Bananas.
Yes, sir.
And this is the first time you've been able to do a full weekend in 5 years.
Yes. 5 years.
Because you're a quitter.
Because I am a quitter. And mainly because of my lack of work ethic. I think we can both agree on that. It was interesting. I haven't told you this till now. I was having the time of my life because it was fun to do that again. And you forget what it feels like because I feel bad, because of the little babe, and because of what, you know, my autoimmune disease and stuff. And it was still kind of cold out. And anybody who's ever been to Go Bananas, it's a really narrow hallway when you leave. So it is like, you're like, if you're going to meet the comic, you're also going to almost French kiss him. And
right.
Mike Cronin opened. He was like, hey, I'd love to come down, which is really great because he used to come. I mean, he headlines that club. So as well as others. So it was really great to have him come down. I will say, and I don't think this is going to surprise you, a lot of bigoty jokes in his set. You know, I don't want to sign off on Mike's set I mean, you've seen it. It's, they don't call him the king of walking folks for nothing.
He posted on Instagram some potential art for his next album, and the title is What's Wrong with the N-Word, which I thought was
crazy. And I think he needs a talking to. I mean, I think from a comedian he respects, which certainly isn't me, apparently, because I was like, hey, do you think you should open up on that whole thing about the Middle East? And he kept doing it all weekend. And
well, he definitely doesn't respect you because he was my informant this weekend at the shows. And I got an unsolicited text message from him that says,
was it his balls?
guest Cy is doing an hour 40 on the 7:30 show. And I said, well, he did 35 when he was supposed to do 12. Math checks out. I wrote, is he going deep? And he goes, just launched into a multiple year, multiple angle Greg Hunting joke. So I might miss my flight on Thursday.
I'm not interested in this. I've never been shit talked by a feature more in my life. But anyway, so, and point being, Mike is out there selling stickers. So not only do I have to be really close to the people walking out, I also have to stand next to Mike, which looks like I'm co-signing his material, which, you know how that goes. You wouldn't do that. And so, I felt bad. Like everybody who came, cause here's what I will say. I was surprised at the turnout. It was a lot of people who listened to our show, a lot of people who listened to my very stupid sports show. A lot of you guys came out, and I'm sorry that I didn't say hello. It was very nice. I had a very, very nice time. And it's, you forget that a club like Go Bananas, that when it's good, it's fucking amazing. And it was Mikey and Marty and Ran and Lee and the Morgan and Ellen and Jake, the whole, it was really fun. It was a very, very, very nice time, despite Mike's white power set before I went on stage.
Yeah, well, that makes sense. That all checks out. And how did Jenna feel then about you being gone so much? Was she actually thrilled to get you out of the house a little bit?
Yeah, she was like, oh, you're going to be gone for 4 nights in a row? Right at about bedtime? The time where I'm trying to get him to wind down and you're pretending to eat his feet for 20 minutes in a row to make him giggle? You know how I ask you to watch him while I brush my teeth so he doesn't fall off the bed, and you rile him up to the point where it's going to be an extra hour before he goes to sleep? You mean we're not going to do that?
Yeah.
You mean I don't have to call your mom and dad on FaceTime every single night so they can say goodnight to the baby that I'm trying to turn into the king of their grandchildren? We're going to skip those sort of things? Yeah, I think she was thrilled. Well, it was also Monday. So your birthday is Saturday. Jenna's birthday is Monday. So so we did it big. We rented out a little on Saturday during the day. We rented out a little room at a restaurant.
Heck yeah.
Had a bunch of people, even invited Mike Cronin. He said some off color things, but everybody dealt with it. And then we rented a little. Yeah.
Sure he did.
We rented you should have seen, I don't know what he normally eats, but the way he reacted to some of the appetizers, that was pretty high end restaurant. So he ordered something, and it was called like chili something something it was like a specialized calamari. And I think what he saw when he read that was chili cheese fries. And so he put some in his mouth and then just dropped it on the plate in front of everybody and shouted
like Cookie Monster.
Yeah. But it was nice to have him there, and it was, and then everybody went to a movie. So we had a big Jenna day Saturday, and then to top it off, I didn't ruin bedtime, which was nice.
C is for calamari. That's good enough for me. White people rule. Very strange.
I know the great Ben Katzner. You use the great Rand Barnacle, the great Ali Salton. I do think Mike Cronin, I think he's a guy that you could bring along, but I do need to warn you, you have to constantly, he's a big alpha energy. Obviously he's texting, it's my show. I do the amount of time I want, but he went at me. So if you are looking to do your time, but also question yourself and have to battle a big alpha personality, I think he's great. I think you should bring him with.
Well, I definitely am going to. We've talked about it, and I've got some dates coming up. I'm gonna like Carmen Morales, like bringing her on some shows. I got a lot of people that I got a fun little
little spicy crew blended that
we all love working together. So I think it's gonna be a fun rest of the tour. Absolutely.
What? So now you go to Mexico. When do you leave for Mexico? How many days from now?
I leave in 5 days.
How hard is it going to be for you, knowing you, how hard is it going to be for you to have finished this hard thing, take 2.5 weeks off and then gonna like you are gonna have to go back to doing comedy. How hard is that gonna be?
Which part?
The going back to doing, like, after your son's wedding and your 2.5 weeks off, because there's been a big build up to this special.
Right. Yeah.
A lot of pressure, a lot of time, a lot of work. And now,
well, this one, just to let people in on it, this one has, normally you finish your hour and then you figure out where you're going to do it and when you're going to do it. Mm-hmm. This time I said, I want to do it here. This is my normal week that I work in the Twin Cities of Minneapolis and St. Paul. So I'm going to book this theater and then I have that much time to finish it. So I think when you and I talked, I was in Dallas and I said I had 2 shows left. I'd listen to my set from Friday night. I had 2 left on Saturday and I had 15 lines to figure out.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's intense.
Yeah. So, I mean, it was really fun to do it that way because it really puts the pressure on and I like that. But I have a couple jokes that I have ready to build the next hour, a couple thoughts. And so I'm excited to try those. So I'll be excited to get back into it, especially after 2.5 weeks. I don't normally take that much time off, but
see, that's what
I'm looking forward to Mexico.
I was worried it might be the mini pandemic style where you came out of the pandemic and you're like, I think I want to just like, I don't know, grow corn and die here.
yeah. That could be too. Taking a break. I am a little tired, you know?
Yeah.
I'm getting older. Traveling is harder.
Sleeping an hour and a half at most a day, so.
Yeah. And, you know, I somehow got tricked into loving my partner. It's fucking annoying. So it's like I want to be home.
And you have a great relationship with Kelsey, too.
Yeah, it's true. So it's like,
but you know, thank you for saying that about me. And
torn between here and there. Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you very much. I love it when you compliment me. Will you be the guy who gives the speech? Because the dad of the bride usually gives the speech at the wedding, right?
Right. I believe so.
And the dad of the groom or the parents of the groom usually give it at the groom's dinner. Is that what we're planning on? Do they have something else planned? Where is Chattels speaking at all during this event to the larger group present?
I don't know. Ooh, I just, my close. Invitation said, you're lucky to get this.
Okay, that makes sense.
And that was about it. So if they ask me to speak, I mean, I don't see that I'll have a big problem. I mean, I'm not going to get, you know, too weepy and shit like that because I think Isaac would hate that. But
I was just going to say, not by your own volition, you're going to have to be holding back for some greater good because that seems like the exact sort of place you'd get real weepy.
Yeah, I guess that's probably true, but
I think the moment
I'm not going to try to make it that way for other people.
If Isaac has a child someday, the moment that happens, your career is over because I think you'll actually turn into a full puddle of tears. I don't think we'll be able to. It's like those old Capri Sun commercials where the skateboarders turn into goo. I assume that's what'll happen to you in the hospital. So I don't. I think maybe. I think we got to get hour 11 in quick, just in case he's interested in a family.
Yeah. Well, what do you think about this though for opening the speech? You know, statistics say that 50% of marriages end in divorce, and because I'm an amazing father, I took the bullet for you two. You're welcome.
Hey, if you guys like this, there will be a new episode next Monday and every single Monday at 8 a.m. So click the subscribe button so your phone sends it to you without having to do any work.